We are Science Fiction Remnant, a podcast for sci-fi lovers spanning across books, movies, TV shows, and games.
This is Season 1, Episode 24, TV show Upload, Season 1, Episode 1. Welcome to the Upload for November 7, 2020.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Science Fiction Remnant. Thank you so much for coming back.
This means a lot to us. We hope that you find this episode as exciting to listen to as it was for us to create for you.
If you like this show and know someone who might like this podcast, please share it. It would help us greatly in growing this channel.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Sci-Fi Remnant and share any comments you have about this podcast with your friends and family. We appreciate it. Well, everyone, this episode is going to be quite interesting. I got to say, it's going to be our first comedy.
Definitely.
And I want to warn you all, Robert and I have been watching too much Mandalorian. So we saw that Baby Yoda was eating frogs and we just tried to copy him. So our throats are kind of weird now. But we learned the lesson.
Yeah. I hope you guys don't mind. We don't sound as we should right now. But maybe we have a cold or something. But we decided to do this episode anyway. So hopefully you guys don't mind.
And you guys can enjoy now my very white voice.
Awesome. So this TV show, I had a lot of my friends recommended it to me when it first came out. Not sure how many of you have seen Upload from Amazon Prime Video.
Yes.
And for some reason, my answer was always no, I have not seen it. And they always looked at me like, what's wrong with you? I mean, you're supposed to be Mr. Sci-Fi and you haven't watched Upload yet? Dude, just go watch it. So I was like, okay. I eventually, I think after a month of weathering those comments, decided to, oh, you know, why not? Let's go ahead and put it on. And I have to tell you that I finished it, I think, in a couple of days. In 2 days, I could not stop watching. This is an amazing show.
It is. It's good. It's addictive. It has a good storyline. So even though it's a comedy, it keeps you hooked the whole time.
That's one of the things that I love about this TV show is the fact that although it's a comedy, it has very deep thoughts, you know, controversies,
existential issues for the future.
Oh yes, so it keeps it serious and yet humorous at the same time, which is I think it's genius from, you know, not sure who to credit here, the creator, definitely the writers, director, but it's really interesting how you have all the genre working together without an apparent separation.
Yeah, no, it's been very well thought out. I found kind of amusing how people have changed over the years and how social evolution is represented in the show, which is quite kind of interesting because if you think about it, we always have that question, how people are going to be socially from here to 50 years? Mm-hmm. What's going to be the normal? We're going to be probably considered something antiquate or we don't use that anymore.
Yeah. So the show is about, apparently in this future, they figure out how to transfer consciousness into the digital world. So before you die, you have the option of pain to be uploaded, and you know, hence the name of the show, Upload, into a digital world. And depending on how much you pay, and you get to different locations. So, you know, we see not apparent from the first episode, but in the first episode, we definitely can get a sense because Lakeview is one of the best locations to be uploaded to. Mm-hmm. And it is really pricey. to be in there. And not only that, but even when you get uploaded, which obviously, you know, you don't feel hunger, you don't feel pain, you don't feel anything like that, but you still have the choice of buying things. You know, you can buy clothes, you can buy McDonald's, you can buy Coke.
Taco Bells. Taco Bells.
Exactly. So, but everything you do is in an app purchase. So it's reminiscent of like what we have now as the App Store. And if you think about it, is what could be the future of Neuralink.
Virtual reality.
Where you can go in through an app and say you want to learn math or you want to learn guitar.
And I purchase it for Algebra 3.
There you go. So, you know, this touches a lot of things that within the realm of far-fetched possibility in our future, based on the technologies of the, you know, or where we see technology heading to. And it's, we follow the story of Nathan, this guy. He dies and he gets uploaded into this world, and only to later it starts to find out that something was wrong with the nature of his death.
Yeah.
So I recommended the show to you, and I think you've, the same thing happened to you that happened to me. I mean, I finished in 2 days because I think I caught it on a week that I had to work, and it was really, you know, I was really busy.
I didn't finish it in 4 or 5. That's how fast it took me. So I ate the show too, actually.
Yeah, This show is really, really cool. It's, like I said, it's an Amazon Prime Video. It aired in May 1st of this year, 2020. And it only has 11 episodes. And that might be the reason why. I mean, the first episode, I think it was about 40-something minutes. But all the other episodes are around
30 minutes.
Around 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is one of those episodes that if you're not careful, you can finish it up in one day.
Yeah, I will say so.
So, this show has a lot of questions as you watch. Nathan, in this show, he was he was starting a business, and he was trying to write code for a digital afterlife, and this is how they called those platforms in this show. Where Lakeview is a digital afterlife, is one of the best, one of the ones that makes the most money. And Nathan was writing code for a digital afterlife together with his friend. I believe his name was Jamie.
A college friend.
So on his way, I don't know if it was on his way home, I believe.
He was going to stay over his girlfriend's.
Yeah.
And he was on his way there.
Yeah. So the full self-driving on his car malfunctioned. And he crashed.
Right in the back of a trailer.
Yeah. Yep.
Of a truck.
And he ended up in the hospital. Now, and I think we discussed this too. One of the things that I found interesting was, I mean, we could see liver was failing, something was failing, and he was dying. And they had this discussion: should he go to the operating room and try to save him? And just like normal, like nowadays, there's always a chance that you can die. Depending on the severity of your, what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was really bad. So he wasn't doing too good. So the other option was to get uploaded to the digital afterlife called Lakeview. And there's always a chance that he's going to be alive as a digital consciousness.
Yeah, and that, you know, they keep on dreaming on developing a technology where they could bring you back. So they save your body.
Exactly. So here's the dilemma that he has. He can go and take his chances like a normal person and go to the ER. And, you know, there's a chance he can be alive. The problem is that if he dies, you cannot upload a dead person. Or should you go for the safe bet and just get uploaded, and you don't have to worry because that always works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other dilemma that I have is he did not have an account. For a afterlife account. And I guess it's reminiscent of what happens nowadays with you find some people that do not have a will, and some people do. And it maybe it's one of those things where you don't really think you're ready to create one yet, or you don't need one yet. But whatever the reason, Nathan did not have an account, an afterlife account. Maybe because he was creating his own. He's waiting for him to be uploaded to his own afterlife. Not sure. I mean, and, you know, he was young. You know, he wasn't really thinking about this could be a possibility.
But my take on it is, since he doesn't have his own account, he got uploaded to his girlfriend's account. So
yeah.
It's like he became a forever pet of somebody else in a cage, in a virtual cage.
Yes.
That's what it feels like. And I mean, let's get it out of the way, people. I want to talk very ill about his girlfriend because she's like, if you think social nuisance as a person, she's exaggeration of that.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, what? What can you call it?
I noticed, it, first of all, you know, and again, I always have to play the devil's advocate here. She doesn't mean bad. You know, she means well. On what she does.
We've been talking about this before.
Exactly. But here's the thing. She's a little bit of an airhead.
Airhead? A little?
and she, you know.
She literally manipulates him face on. Straight up. No freaking shadings between.
Yeah. And I think it has to do with how she's. You know, it's obvious. I mean, she's always looking in a mirror. She's always fixing herself. It's all me.
Yeah, that's the most important person to her. So, and I'll tell you, you say that she doesn't mean bad, but I mean, yeah, hell is full of good people.
Well, yeah, I just see a different side, and especially if you guys get to see the last episode. But even during this episode, you can see how she's trying to do good on her own way. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense, which that's not really
good at all.
Best or good enough for the other person. Like, for example, you know, I truly believe she did not want the boyfriend to die. You know,
yeah.
And she had an account, and it's like it's only her account, and she's willing to split that account. So that, in a little small sense, breaks her ego trip. Because a truly ego person will not share her own account.
But will you think that if you're a person that has limitless resources anyways, it's not like it costs you anything.
Well, you know, she's a...
You know, it's like if she needs to upload, she'll have another account for upload too. So it's not like I'm giving you everything I have. No, she's giving him something that is a lot to him, but it doesn't cost jack shit to her.
The vibe that I got is that this place was very expensive. That's the vibe that I got.
Yeah.
And they got an unlimited account. Kind of reminiscent to, you know, and this is another funny thing. The name of the company is Verizon.
Yeah.
And if you think Verizon has also unlimited accounts where you can get unlimited internet. So Verizon has a limited account. Not only that, but they have an unlimited account on Lakeview.
Yeah.
So,
which is odd, because if they had an unlimited account, how would he need to have in-app purchases left and right?
Because, and if you can remember from the first episode,
it's just the data of you being on.
Exactly. The other stuff is just add-on purchases. So yeah. you have the whole thing. You have like the luxury room. You have the luxury view. You have everything luxury. And as a dead person, you really don't need to eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, you can just leave like that, unlimited. But if you want, you know, the breakfast, you want to have the... And I don't understand. And he even says it in there. It's like, we don't need to eat. Why do we have to like drink coffee or stuff like that? But so basically, it's apparent that it's not needed. But if you want to do it, it's an in-app purchase.
Yeah.
And since the account is the girlfriend's, she has the password. So he can't do anything.
Yeah, he cannot do shit.
So back to what I was saying, it seems like it's a really, I mean, because there's other places that you can go to that they are not as expensive as Lake Butte. So, and she is a daddy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a job. So basically all she does is on her parents' money. And I don't know, I get the sense that this is not something, that, an account that comes by easier or easy. So it wouldn't be, I mean, she could go buy an account for the boyfriend and put him somewhere else. But again, she says it on the very beginning of this episode, you know, we'll be together forever. So she's interested in having the boyfriend in the same place as she is, so they can see each other. And it's definitely apparent that you can't see, you know, she would not be able to see her boyfriend if he's uploaded somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, there's, it's very intricate.
it is. Yeah, it actually gets kind of tricky. But in the same way, you know, like, you can see the difference of moral values in between one and another.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big divide there on things that we will consider okay, and then things that we consider that's so not okay, and then these people will behave like, that's normal.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
Like, you remember when they were on his house, the first time that he took her to his family,
mm-hmm.
and, like, she was behaving completely odd. And then, like, his niece asking to dance with him for a class.
And
she's nodding like, no, like,
exactly.
Don't go.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
then after they end up dancing, like, she just come in front of the girl and says, like, we're done here, right? Let's get out.
Yeah.
So it's like again, this lady, she needs a freaking leash.
again, it's like I said, she's like, she has this ego trip. You know, it has to be all about her.
Yeah, it's just her. Ego, man.
Exactly. So, and you know, another thing that I was thinking about as a gamer, and I don't know if you heard this game, Second Life.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
This kind of reminds me of, like, this is kind of like Second Life in steroids. Like, if you can get Second Life and upload into it yourself.
Kind of. It's not Second. It's just a real life, really.
Yeah.
You don't have the real one anymore.
You know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know. I just got that scent, that vibe when I was watching the show for the first time.
Yeah.
the show has a couple of Easter eggs in there too. Like, if you notice at the beginning of the episode, when the, I call her name is Angel. Well, Angel, mm-hmm. I can't remember what her name was, but Angel was riding the bus to go on her way to work. And there's a movie playing and someone's viewer or phone. I don't know what that exactly is. I'm assuming it's a phone. And that's 50 First Dates. I love that movie. Also, another thing that I just have to mention, because it kind of shocked me in a way. When Jamie, Nathan's friend, walks into the house for the first time.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Nathan and the girlfriend invited herself to Thanksgiving dinner. And Jamie walks towards, I guess, the dining room.
Right.
And the wall, there was a poster of Oprah Kamala 2024.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking. I was like, what?
Now, remember, this is a show that is supposed to be, I don't know exactly how far into the future is, to the point where Teslas are like
classic cars,
classic or antique vehicles. So you get the sense that this poster on the wall is also an antique.
Yeah. So that's probably like a prediction.
Yeah. And also a little bit of promotion in the car that Nathan was driving. He had a fast food chain drink that he was drinking. That's In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger?
Yeah, in California.
do you know that place? Like, I never heard of it.
In-N-Out is one of the best places in the fast food places in California to, you know, have a burger and stuff like that. So,
good to know when I come back.
I don't know if you noticed that. And it's obvious that when you look at the show, they're somewhere in California. You know, based on what you see in the outside and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the company or Angel, where she works at, is somewhere in New York. So it's cross country. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, yeah, I didn't.
So this the, I don't. What was your thought when you first watched this episode? I mean, I know, kind of like this is a loaded question, but because there's so much in this thing. Although it's a comedy, and I really, really enjoy watching the show. Can't wait for season two. There's so much in it, being a comedy and all. What do you think?
Well, the thing that struck me the most about the show is the portrayal of how people think morally in the future.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that hit me harder, and that's one of the things that got me the most hooked about it. Because in a way, it's a comedy, but it becomes kind of a prediction too, because you see a lot of those things already people do, even though they're not right.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that intrigued me the most of the whole show, is how people behave and think and what they think is okay and not anymore, mm-hmm. Based on new perceptions of the future and the social evolution of people. Also, I love the translation of all these freaking ads that you get in your phone whenever you're doing something, but actually you have a moron standing up on you, in front of you, yeah, trying to sell you gum or Taco Bells, oh, or something else, and they just get on your face.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good translation of what happens online when you have online advertising. So, you know, you would think that this place, Lakeview, you know, being as expensive as it is, will not need this. But if you think about it, you also, as an app, as a online company, a digital company, you need the in-app purchases.
Yeah.
So what best, how best to do it by doing digital advertising?
Yeah, no, it's a perfect outlet. That's the truth.
It's just really annoying. I mean, you're walking through some hallway and you have some digital ad avatar show up and it's like, you want Taco Bell?
And then you tell them no and they just keep on asking. Oh, they tell you you have to wait 30 seconds before they can go away.
Another question that I was wondering too, we probably discussed it when we were talking about the Neuralink unveil from Elon Musk. We're dealing in this show mainly with the transfer of consciousness from a bio organism into the digital realm.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that it could be altered. It's apparent at the beginning of the show when they're recreating Nathan's appearance, and I guess her name was actually Nora. I just remember,
yeah,
the angel. She changes his hair and has this little thing stuck, you know, sticking up in there and on his head, and he can't never put it down. So it's obvious that you could alter this digital footprint. Now, I feel very nervous for this, because if this is possible, then hacking is possible.
Yeah. I remember it's a write and read device.
Exactly. So we also see from the end of the episode how someone was deleting files which represented
memories of him.
Memories, Nathan's memories.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that someone wanted him dead, and it's obvious that someone was trying to cover something up, yeah, by deleting.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky for Nathan, Nora made a copy on a you know, flash drive.
Yeah.
Which is apparent that it might not have been allowed. You know, as an employee, you copy.
No, she should have reported or something, but she just kept it quiet and put it outside.
So for Nathan, this is a good thing. She could not open it. It was encrypted, but still she made the copy. So his data is somewhat safe.
Yeah.
But that's a scary thought.
It is.
You know, even on Neuralink too, and we discussed about this, how there should be some security in place. Because in, for example, Neuralink, you are actually mixing your brain with AI.
Mm-hmm.
So even though your brain cannot be edited or written directly, a hacker could hack into the AI and rewrite your brain.
Mm-hmm.
This is obviously a little different because on this show, they're editing your own digital identity.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing. That's one of the things that left me with a big begging question. When we were watching the presentation for Neuralink, they were very ambiguous about the security. And I think that they, one of the things that should be more detailed about how it works is the security of such a device. And they were very vague about saying, oh, we got to have good security systems with double encryptions and da-da-da. They don't tell you how it works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like me telling you, you have an electric car, but it works with electricity. I don't want to tell you anything else about it, you know?
Yeah. I like to think, and this is just me again, I like to think that they're trying to get to how the actual system works and try to get ahead before they can figure out the security, which is what most digital programming, digital companies,
yeah,
and how they work. However, I'm one of the believers that you should design a system around security, yeah, not bringing security into after the fact.
I agree with you. And to be honest with you, now we're talking about Neuralink, but like, honestly, what's at stake from the get-go on such devices is the human person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like there should not be such risk. If now anybody that is getting into experimental stuff with Neuralink, mm-hmm, they're just becoming guinea pigs for the company.
Yeah,
you know, and that's so messed up.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
then again, it kind of follows through the morals that is played out in the future, like such as the upload. Now, another big question that stays on my head is that really a virtual consciousness, or is that just a copy of the person? And God knows if this person is actually in another realm or whatever happens after death, you know?
Well, you know, and that is a very good question, because I had the same thought, and I guess the show was designed around that same question as well, because we can see that in later episodes in conversations between Nora and her dad. But that is a very good question. It's kind of like
even Nathan's mother. Even Nathan's mother thinks the same.
Exactly. So it's like you get uploaded. Is it really your consciousness being transferred into a digital realm, or are you just being a copy and you actually die?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the same concept that we talked when we were talking about the theory of transportation. You know, like, yeah, in Star Trek,
yeah,
there's a lot of discussion about the technology and creating the technology. Where you're in Star Trek, your mass is transferred into a digital,
exactly,
and decomposed into atom,
then recreated
in another place. And then the philosophical question is like, are you killing the initial person? Let's call it person A, mm-hmm, and creating person B, or are you transferring A to B? I mean, A to A. It's kind of like the same concept, you know, like are you transferring someone's consciousness, or are you making a copy?
Yeah. And I mean, it would be kind of curious. I'm not sure how would I put it, if it's like creating two alternates to the same being,
mm-hmm,
or if really, I mean, if there's nothing else, that's the most obvious thing to self-preservation, really.
Yeah.
That's everything that's going to be left, is that virtual copy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's the thing, like, we're still very ignorant about what's consciousness, you know? We still don't have that grab by the horn.
Mm-hmm.
We still do not dominate in its entirety the intricacies of what entails consciousness.
I mean, you can always say that maybe the show was designed in the future, because it's obviously it's this far, far future where we got a hold of that. And maybe, yeah, that's their reason how they are certain that they are transferring consciousness. But, you know, I feel like, you know, it would explain it for the show.
Exactly. That's the thing. The way that they put it there's no really explanations about that, because mm-hmm. if no, why would you have such a large amount of the population mm-hmm. that still believe upload is wrong, because you're not really keeping the person or whatever, like his own family, Nathan's family, mm-hmm. they don't believe in that shit. They actually think that you die and you go somewhere else, but that's not Nathan and upload.
And Nora's father, I think he has something wrong, is apparent from this episode too, when they're sitting down to eat.
Yeah, he's sick.
From the Google Samsung device. Mm-hmm. They made, I don't know exactly, what was it that they made? I forgot what it was. They sitting down to eat.
Ah, they were eating some kind of freaking brisket or something that was 3D printed.
Yeah, in the Google Samsung device.
Yeah.
So they're sitting down and he's coughing. And we know that he has some serious condition mm-hmm. where his days are counter. You know, that he doesn't have that much. And Nora is trying to make money to buy her an afterlife where she works, which we all know is really expensive.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to do it. He wants to, like what he says, he wants to go. He wants to go and meet his wife. Because mm-hmm. his wife, Nora's mother, died without being...
being uploaded or anything.
Being uploaded anywhere. So that's another battle that we see in here. I got to tell you something that I found really, really funny. That scene when Nathan was uploaded into the digital afterlife. And we're looking at him sitting on that chair, and they brought in this bed of ice.
Yeah.
And kind of funny in itself, too, because when he's uploaded, you know, he loses his head. It just vanishes. He falls forward, or his body falls forward. And he sees his butt, you know, plain as day,
yeah,
on top of this bed of ice. Did you know that they had to use a stunt for that scene for obvious reasons? You know, because he's the main star of the show. We can't have him like
laying on ice.
No, bumped his head on the side of the thing and end up in the hospital and stop production. You know, I understand that. You have to use a body double. They can't stop production of the show. So when his wife watched this episode, she stood up and said, "Whose butt is that?"
So she knows his butt very well.
That's not my husband's ass.
That's so cute.
I thought it was hilarious. I mean, the scene itself is hilarious.
Like technology has us with face recognition, but that wife has butt recognition.
There you go. Oh, man. I just had to say that. I thought that was
hilarious.
That's
actually hilarious.
So, I mean, one of the things that I wonder too, and this is something that I hope I can start a conversation, is if you see yourself in that situation, would you let your girlfriend upload your brain knowing that she has, you know, she's the gatekeeper? You're about to die. Let's put the worst case scenario. Let's assume, not in the show, because in the show he had a possibility that he could, you know, come up good out of the AR. But let's say, for example, you know you're going to die. You know it's a fact you're going to die. And your girlfriend says you could be uploaded, you know, under her account. And you have, and you know ahead of time that she has the password, and she will not give you the password for anything. But since you don't need to eat, you don't need to buy anything, you could live basically forever on this account because it's an unlimited account. Would you, you know, knowing this ahead of time, take the conscious decision of, okay, fine, you know, I don't need to eat, I don't need to buy anything. I want to live. Or would you say, like, whatever, you know, I'm not going to be a puppet at someone and just, you know, die?
Yeah, I'm not doing it. Honestly.
Because, I mean, in the show, they make it very apparent. Like, if all the conditions meet, that it would be equal to the one on the show, my answer will always be no.
Mm-hmm. It's hell. It's like you're becoming a bird in a cage.
But
a beautiful cage, still a cage.
Yeah, but this is the reason why it bothers me on Nathan's decision, because yeah. It's not that he's thinking about, you know, he's going to die. He has a possibility of dying. He's not thinking about all that. The reason why he said yes is to stop his girlfriend from crying. Because yeah. He can't take people crying.
Yeah.
That's not a reason, dude.
No, because he's a pushover, man. He's a pushover. He didn't have any kind of autonomy in the decision-making of this.
He just see the girlfriend crying. He's like, oh, God, people are looking. Come on, don't cry. Yeah, I'll sign.
Honestly, it's what I'm telling you. His girlfriend is freaking annoying, man. Like if I have a girl and she does that shit to me like that, like the girlfriend does, I mean, hey, please don't do that shit. Stop it right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, based on what I see, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, based only on season, because I know we've seen the entire thing,
yeah.
Right? So try to forget every episode past this and just concentrate on the first episode. Based on what we see, he had a chance that he could live.
Yeah.
It could maybe be 50%.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Even 20%.
Yeah. But he had a chance that he could live if he was, in this case, was left to the ER.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought that he got killed for no reason. Because basically that's how I see it. I mean, he got killed to be uploaded. Obviously, something is up because of how we see his accident. It's obvious someone hacked his car. Because it's in a way a little funny how he's like, okay, there's a truck. You want to stop? And the car said, no, there's not stop. There's no truck in front of us.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I can see it. It's right there. You better stop.
It was like a total bug.
Exactly. And
he was like, go in manual. It was like, I don't know any manual. context.
Which, if you think about it, reminisces a little of Siri. And then at the end of the show, we see how someone is deleting his files. So, there's something not quite right in here.
Yeah. It is not like we know completely it was a total plot. You get that vibe from the beginning. It's just very kind of blurry, but they even show you about the memories that are being to try to delete it and stuff from the first episode. So they put that seed in there. Nathan didn't die just because he died. He was killed.
Yeah.
They made that clear from the get-go. That's one of the main hooks of the show is that, I mean, I think that the upload, the whole idea, it's kind of the excuse to bring the story behind what happened to Nathan. Because the whole show is about Nathan, really.
Yes.
And he got killed for something that he was doing that was like upload, but it was not upload.
Mm-hmm. So it makes you feel at the beginning that someone was after him because of the possibility of change that he could bring to the market. Remember, he's doing an afterlife that gives the possibility of people that don't have money
to be there,
to be uploaded into the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it takes from the market. It takes from the bottom line profit of a major corporation.
Yeah, corporate greed. That's like the main, the villain in the here. It looks like corporate greed.
It looks. You know, we don't see apparent, but we can kind of deduce based on what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you guys have seen this show on Amazon Prime, I'm really curious to see what you guys think. We can start a conversation on our Discord channel, or we can talk over in Twitter if you like. And for those of you who have seen the show, what do you think? Let's start a conversation. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of topics on this TV show. The entire TV show is just.
Absolutely. Give us your thoughts on this weird future portrayed in here.
I mean, we even see the bicycles with full self-driving in this thing. This future is dominated by our ability to have a better technology.
Yeah.
The cars kind of look like eggs if you think about it.
Yeah, they do. They do.
But you know, it gives you a feeling of a safe car for some reason. So, well, if you think about it, when he died, they kind of laughed at him. Because it's like, okay, how you died? It's like, well, my car, full self driving option got malfunctioned, and they laughed, and just that laugh leads me to believe that this is a freak accident that never happens.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So I don't know. I mean, there's so many things. The things that one thing that really has me a little spooked is the possibility in this future of hacking. I mean, if you have someone hack your consciousness and change anything on there, would you still be you? I mean, did it in essence kill you and created a different person?
Would you be locked behind the consciousness while watching everything happening?
Or the main question of all of it, would you be just straight out dead from the beginning, and all they're doing is
replicating you,
changing your copy?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of questions. I mean, this is a comedy, but
it has a lot of serious subjects that are actually approaching in the near future.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
Yeah,
I don't think that we're gonna be. I don't think that we are, and I'm going to give a lot of years ahead. I don't think that we're 60 years away from that.
And you know, another thing that I was thinking too is, and I'm going to call this the Gattaca effect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't watched that episode, if you haven't listened to the episode that we did on Gattaca, I invite you guys to, you know, go to our feed and listen to that episode. But what I call the Gattaca effect is how the future of any technology gets altered, hopefully for the better, because of the portrayal of the issues on that technology on a movie.
Yeah.
So in Gattaca, they're portraying the digital alteration of your DNA sequence to remove, you know, stuff like, you know, the possibility that you could become a drunk, or the possibility that you could have cancer in the future, and they just remove those things from your DNA.
But really what it's doing at the same time is changing personality traits that will lead you to those decisions.
Exactly. And I remember reading that some of the people that were in the arena of DNA sequencing mm-hmm. saw this movie, and it's kind of like a warning to the future. And not only that, but from this movie, you had actual laws that pass. So it makes me wonder if things, sci-fi shows or movies like Upload, show a possibility on the far future, mm-hmm. nonetheless, you know, where when we reach that time in place, where we are ready to put some of those technologies into place, will this show create the Gattaca effect for those people in the future, where they say, oh, you know, this is not a really good future for humanity.
Yeah.
Let's make some changes. Let's make some laws.
Erases consciousness.
Exactly. So I always wonder about this, you know, because we always talked about how science imitates art. So it not only goes for the technology itself, but the implications and the issues that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know what you guys think. I mean, it's a comedy, and we can talk heavy about it. But after all, I really, really enjoyed the show, and I cannot wait for season two.
Yeah, me neither.
So you guys, let's continue this conversation in Twitter or in our Discord channel. The link is on the description. Well, this is the end of the show for now. Please let us know if you like this episode.
And if you have any ideas about which topics you would like us to discuss in the next episodes, reach out. We would love to hear from you.
Remember, You can follow us on Twitter at Sci-Fi Remnant. And if you like this podcast, please share it.
And don't forget to rate us in your favorite podcast platform. This will help us grow. Thank you so much.
See you next time. This is Science Fiction Remnant, signing off.